We love Christmas lights. And the thing about it is that for every one of us, we love that opportunity. For some of you may not like them, but most of us love whenever we see them and we go different places to see them. And even to the point that most of us, Christmas lights has become quite of a competition, hasn't it? I mean, if your neighbor puts up one Christmas strand, next year you go to two strands, right? And then if they put up 500,000, you go to 510,000, right? You got to outdo your neighbor. And then here's the thing. For some of us, we love the fact that neighbors outdo neighbors, and then it gives the rest of us in the world a chance to drive by and see all the things that they've done. Some lights, some of you have even gotten so creative that your Christmas lights dance with Christmas music. And we like that. I mean, we pull up with groves of cars and we stand there and the lights dance back and forth and we sit there and we watch it in amazement that somebody in the world figured out how to plug things in and figure out how to make lights work. We love Christmas lights. And I would venture to say that each of you in the room have a favorite light display somewhere, either here or somewhere around the world that you've visited. So here's what I'd like for you to do. You're sitting next to someone. Turn to that person and tell them what your favorite light display in all of the world is for you to go visit at Christmas, okay? So go ahead. This is a little interactive moment for you. Yeah. You know, for some of you, it may be the Sharpsville Light Show. For others of you, it may be Highland Park. You might be like us. I mean, we go to Highland Park, and while we enjoy the lights, our kids tend to enjoy the gingerbread guys that are stuck to the trees above the lights. Maybe for some of you, it's the video you saw a little bit ago of the WeCare Park, and you love being a part of WeCare because what a great opportunity. You're not one of those people that just drive through. You're a person that gets out of the car, and then you walk through it and get the free hot chocolate and cookies, and you do the whole experience. And for you, every one of us has this light display that somehow we just enjoy. Have you ever wondered, where did all these lights come from? I mean, why in the world do we celebrate and love lights at Christmas time? You know, the thing about Christmas is that you're used to hearing the story from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. A story about a baby in a manger, a story about wise men and shepherds, a story about angels, and a story about just the right time and place and location. You're so used to hearing that story that perhaps you've missed one of the greatest Christmas stories, and it's found with perhaps the best friend of Jesus, a fellow by the name of John, who wrote the account in John chapter 1, and he decided that as Matthew and Luke told the story of Jesus, he would take the angle a little bit different. And instead of talking about the birth of this baby and talk about the cool things that happened behind it and all of the stuff around it, he would point to the very person in a manger and he would point out the very fact that that person came and the reason that that person came and the history behind that person. In John chapter 1, the first few verses, John would write this about Jesus. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. And then listen to this. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness can never extinguish it. John uses two metaphors here to describe Jesus. The first metaphor is the word word, and the second one is light. And word and light in this passage equals Jesus. You see, John knew that in this instance, that what he could do was something unique. He could tie back the beginning of the entire story. He could go back to the very beginning of your Bible in Genesis chapter 1. And the very first words that God ever spoke in Genesis 1 are these words, "Let there be light." And in the middle of chaos and darkness, God created this universe. And here's what John says, God decided to do it again. Just the right time, at just the right moment, when darkness seemed to be everywhere, God decided that it was time for him to bring the light into a very dark world. And this is where the Christmas story and your story intertwine. You know, because you and I have had enough darkness and chaos in our world. And maybe for some of you, if I were to ask you, what's your reason for being here at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, a couple of days before Christmas, to celebrate the Christmas story, there would be many different responses. I mean, for some of you, you get up and you say, this is tradition, it's exciting, this is what we do. For others of you, this is our normal time that we come and go to church. Maybe for some of you, you're saying, you know what, I know that I want to make mom happy, and she's going to call me on December 26th and say, did you go to church Christmas Eve? And I'll be able to say, Mom, I was there. Regardless of what your reason is, the truth of the matter is that you're sitting in this room and you're present, and I want you to know that the light of Jesus Christ has come into this world to fill the darkest and most chaotic corners of your world. He came for everyone. Let's look at that verse 5 again. He says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. There's a profound truth in that. And the profound truth is simply this: light wins every time. A few years ago, I was caving with some friends of mine, and we decided to go down into this area that was kind of a hole, kind of a mine shaft. And as we went down into it, our guide takes us what seemed like about 1,000 miles into the center of the universe. And we get way back into this backside of this cave. And our guide says to all of us in this big cavernous room, as we look around, he said, okay, here's what I want to do. We're going to do a little experience, a little experiment. I want you to experience pure darkness. So I want everybody to turn their flashlights off right now. And so we all turn our flashlights off, and sure enough, that was absolute darkness. And then he sat silently for what seemed like minutes. And the person beside me had a problem with claustrophobia, and they'd already been struggling in the cave already. And now, amidst all this darkness around them, they started to shake a little bit. Not only did they shake, but they were like, they were starting to make noise. And it was obvious that they were in the moment of freaking out. Why? Because it was absolute darkness. And then the guide said to us, here's what I want you to do. Put your hand up in front of you, and you put your hand up in front. And some of us think that we see the hand, but it's absolute darkness, and there is nothing to see. You cannot see anything. Our eyes never adjusted to the complete darkness. And then, as he describes to us all the things that are happening and all the motor systems in our mind that are working right now, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out one of those little kids' 50-cent flashlights that maybe your kid got back at Halloween, like my kids got. And he flips it on, and the little dimness of that light lit up the entire cavern that we were around. And I learned something that day. Light wins every time. And maybe for you, this is the Christmas miracle that you need to experience. Because you know that you've tried to figure things out on your own, and it's left your world chaotic. You know that you've tried to move in different directions, and you're sensing nothing but a dark cavern that's in front of you. And for you to know, and for you to experience, and for you to see the reality and the understanding that even in your world, that Jesus can illuminate your heart, that the darkness you face will only fade if you're willing to let Jesus come in and illuminate your heart. This is why John describes Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And my encouragement to you is that this Christmas, you'd be willing to consider that same light in your life. Just a couple of verses later, John would put these words to pen. He'd say, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And then he describes how we responded. He came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. And then John gives us the real reason behind the whole birth story of Jesus. He simply says, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Do you get the fact that the light of Jesus is shown for the very way to illuminate your journey back to the very God who loves you and created you? This Christmas, I pray that you would begin to understand and sense, that you would begin to recognize the light of Christ, and that you would be willing to take a look at your own darkness, your own chaos, the very things that you keep from the rest of the world, that you think you're pretty good at hiding, and allow the light of Christ to shine on the darkest parts of your heart and say yes to him in illuminating your life in a way that it's never been illuminated before. I'm going to invite you, if you would, to join me in prayer. And then after I get done praying, I'm going to give us some instruction and we're going to sing a song, because I want to give us an opportunity to respond in these moments, because I think that for some of us in the room, we've never taken this step. We've never allowed the light of Christ to illuminate the darkness in our hearts. And quite honestly, regardless of the reason of why you came, you know that you are trying to make your way through the darkness of this life, and quite honestly, you're finding out that it's not working. And so my prayer for you is that you'll get the discovery of the light of Christ on this December 23rd service. Let's pray together. Jesus, you came into this earth at a very dark time, when people seemed to think that there was so much political strife in their day, that the things that they thought, the people that they thought who should be in power weren't in power, and the people who were in power were just ruling it against them. And Jesus, you showed up in the most unlikely of places, a little town outside of the city center, just 10 miles away. And in that moment, the light of the world came to live and dwell among us. God, we just sang a few minutes ago, O come, Emmanuel, which the writer of Matthew describes simply as God is with us. And so, Jesus, I pray that in these next few moments, you would begin to illuminate the darkest areas of our heart and the chaos of our world so that we can show the light of Christ wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.